Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Ches. We continue with the issue of amounts in order to be chayav, in order to be guilty of the Isur Hoitzah on Shabbos, amounts of different substances. Here we're dealing with different liquids, and in this case, water. And on the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have written Shiur Hotzoas Mayim, the amount in order to be culpable for Hotzoas Shabbos, for transferring an item from one domain to another, in with regard to the amount of water that would be required. So the Gemara. The Mishnah had said, Mayim kedei loshuf bohen es hakilor, the amount of water necessary for preparing the kilor potion that's used for eye ailments. The Gemara opens with a question. You'll notice there's a long question marking, and that's indicated by the shin that you see encircled in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line. All of the lines opposite this vertical dash line are part of the question. In other words, the question comes to a climax actually at the end of this particular long note. The Gemara. Omar Abaye, Michti. Abaye tells us, let us, Michti, is to look into this topic. There are two points that we've listed as Aleph and Beis. Aleph, kol milsa d'shchicha v'lo shchicha. If you have an item that has a common use, milsa d'shchicha is a common use, and lo shchicha, something that's uncommon. Also, Rabbanan boser d'shchicha l'kula. The Rabbanan will say, let us follow the common use of the item in order to determine the amount in question, even if it happens to result in a leniency. In other words, the common usage of the item requires a greater amount of it. If you have an item that's shchicha u'shchicha, two uses of the item, but both are common, both are on a regular, common, familiar basis, then also Rabbanan Boser d'shchicha l'chumra. Then the Rabbanan will say, will follow the more common use that leads to a stringency. In other words, there are two common uses, and in one of them there is a lesser amount of substance that's used. That will be the amount to create culpability with regard to Hoitzah on Shabbos. And now we go through a few different liquids, and they're indicated under our Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara with a diamond that's featured. Mashkim Shonim, we have written different beverages, and if you scan the Gemara, you'll notice you have Yayin, Cholov, Dvash, and then later there's a broken or a dashed diamond, Mayim, because that's the focus of our attention. So the Gemara gives a few examples. Yayin, when it comes to wine, shtiyaso shchicha, rufuaso lo shchicha. The drinking of wine is more common than using wine as a remedy. Therefore, also Rabbanan boser shtiyaso d'shchicha l'kula. The Rabbanan emphasize the drinking of the wine, which is more common, and it's a greater amount than one would use of wine with regard to a remedy, so that one won't be chayev for Hilchas Shabbos, for the Isur of Hoitzah, if he carries out something less than, in this case, wine, a revias, less than a revias of wine, won't lead to guilt, even though less than a revias of wine is something used for a remedy. Cholav, with regard to milk, achiloso shchicha, rufuoso lo shchicha. The eating or the drinking, consumption of milk is common. Using milk as a remedy is uncommon. Also, Rabbanan boser achiloso l'kula. The Rabbanan follow the more common use, the drinking of the milk, which results in a leniency, namely, even though milk may be used as a remedy and a smaller amount would be used, nevertheless, that's not the amount that will result in a Shabbos violation. You'll notice that we've noted Aleph in the case of Yain and an Aleph in the case of Chalav. This corresponds to the Aleph that was encircled a few lines before as examples of things that are it's an item that has a common use versus an uncommon use. And now we continue. Devash, achilosa shricha, rufosa shricha. Here the little bays indicates this is an item that has two common uses. The consumption of it is common, and the remedy value of devash is common. So when you have two common uses, also rabbonan bosa rufu also the chumra. The rabbonan will follow the remedy use of it, which is the smaller amount, and that results in a stringency. And it's pointed out why it as a refuah is shachiach, because there is no other liquid that is useful for the kosis, which is the bruise on an animal's back that the wine is designed to, that the honey happens to heal. So far, yayin, cholov, and dvash, it's very clear how we rule. Elamayim, michti. With regard to water, let's look into this a bit. Shtiyosu shchicha, rufuasu lo shchicha. The water would come under we'll call it the first category, the olive category, is something whose drinking or consumption of it is a common use of it. The use of water as a remedy is not common. My time also rabbonan bosu rufu asu l'chumra. Why then, when it comes to establishing the quantity of water resulting in a culpability, do they follow the less common refuah use resulting in a stringency? Once again, if you have something that is common versus uncommon, then you follow the common use, even if that happens to result in a leniency. So why, in the case of water, don't we abide by that rule? Two answers. Omar Abai, Beglila Shanu. Abai says that the Mishnah was taught in the Golil region, and Rashi explains that in the Golil region, they were poor individuals, and as such, they were concerned with any option or any chance of saving, constricting their monetary expenditures. And therefore, wine and milk that are used, generally speaking, in the Kilor preparation, that's the eye potion that we made reference to earlier, and in Goliel, they wouldn't use Yayin and Cholov, which are more expensive substances, and therefore they use the cheaper water for that. Therefore, water in Goliel as a remedy would also be considered a common use. And as a result of water being a common use as a refuah, in addition to it being commonly drunk, we follow the lesser amount that results in a stringency. And again, lesser amount, when resulting in stringency for the iser hoitzah, for the prohibition of transferring it from one domain to another. The next approach, number two, back in the Gemara, Rava Omar, afilu temo bishar mekomos. Rava says that our Mishnah can be understood even in places outside of the Goliel region. Kiddush Shmuel, based on Shmuel's teaching, the Omar Shmuel, kol shekaini masu umatalali, all liquids, when it comes to the kilor preparation, all liquids mixed with the kilor potion are masu, beneficial, offering remedy, and metali, but they cause blindness. Labar mimaya, with the exception of water, the masu velo metali. When you prepare the kilor potion with water, it's not only is it effective, but it also doesn't bring on the blindness. The other substances are more viscous, they are thicker in their consistency, and therefore a layer accumulates on the eye, causing blindness, and which is not the case with kilor prepared with water. So that water's use as a remedy is common, according to Rava's approach, at least in all places. People would opt to use the water liquid as a kilor preparation, making it common, in addition to it being a beverage drunk as a common beverage. When you have two common uses, we'll follow the smaller quantity to establish the Shabbos prohibition. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah said, "Ushar kol hamashkin beruvias." Before we go on in the Gemara, we take a note of the side under our topic, the Nosei heading. We've noted shiur hotsoas dam, the quantity of blood that would result in a Shabbos violation. Tana Rabbanan, dam v'chol mine mashkin beruvias, blood and all other types of liquids. The shiur hotsaw, the shiur of the iser pro of transporting them from one domain to another, is a revius. And we've mentioned in the past, the revius is a quarter of a lug, which is a known liquid measure. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, dam kedei likhol ba'ayin achas, shekein kochalin lebarkis. Blood, the amount that would be used for smearing in one's eye. We call bayin is to apply to one's eye, a singular eye, and this is something that's used for the barkis ailment. Barkis is the name of an ailment. The Gemara offers an interruption, and we've noted with our little star to the side, Pesoch sograim elu vavoim achakach, within these brackets and the next set of brackets, Hagemara masbira ezu dam tzorach, which kind of blood is needed for barkis. So the Gemara says, umay ninu, what is the dam that they use for the barkis ailment? Doma de tarnagolus bora, it's used for the, it's the blood of a wild chicken. Bora is a word, bar meaning outdoors, it's an outdoors, say a wild chicken. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the source contains Rav Shimon ben Omer, dam kedei lichol bo ayin achas, blood, the amount used for applying to one eye, shekein kochalin li yarod. Yarod is another type of ailment, and that is treated by a blood application. The Gemara again explains to Mainu what kind of blood is used for the yarod ailment. Doma de kushtina, it's dam of a kushtina, a type of creature. Visimonoch, and in order to remember, we should mention, Rashi describes the kushtina as ataleif, which is he uses a French word for that, and it might very well be a bat, though we're not going to commit ourselves, as we often point out in our Gemara marking Shurim, we don't commit ourselves to translations that we offer as being for different plants and creatures as being totally reliable, but in this case we'll go out on a limb and say that it might very well be a bat. Now, the reason we're suggesting a translation here is because in order to understand the continuation of the Gemara, it might be helpful. The Simonech, in order to remember which kind of blood is used for which one of these ailments, we've got barkis and we've got yarod, two types of eye ailments. And in order to remember that the outdoor chicken is used for the barkis and the bat blood is used for the yarod, remember the following. V'simonech, gava l'gava, boro l'boro. Literally, inside for inside, outside for outside. To appreciate this, we glance in the Rashi and toward the end of the narrow lines. Gava, kushtina motzui besoch hayishuv. The kushtina creature is found in communities. Shu liyarud, which is the blood, is used for treating the yarud ailment. Shu shokea besoch ayin. It's something that is depressed within the eye. So it's indoors, it's an inside, or in this case, in the neighborhood type thing. And the eye ailment is also something that's depressed in the eye. Labora, doma de tarnagolas bora, labarkis she boletis. The barkis eye ailment is something that is a protrusion, it's an outside type ailment. Hence the tarnagolas bora, the outdoor chicken, is the blood used for that. So you can see the relationship between the nature of the eye ailment and the type of blood that is chosen. Continuing in the Gemara, well, Bamed Mormurim, when is it that we require a shiur, we mention a specific quantity for the isur of hoitzah, b'motzi. This is with regard to someone that carries it from indoors to outdoors. We'll have to come back to this line later, because it's not going to be clear, and that's why we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. But let's continue in the meantime. Avol b'matznia kol shulchaya. But when it comes to someone who hides it away, then even a negligible amount will result in guilt. Rabbi Shimon Omer, b'med v'mumurim, when is it that a small amount is capable of leading to culpability? A small amount meaning something less than a rivius, and that's what we have been describing till now. That's b'matznia, someone who puts it away, who deliberately puts it away, puts it aside for his personal needs or considerations. Avo b'motzi, someone who merely carries it out without having put it aside specifically. So eino chayav el revius, he won't be chayav unless he put aside unless a revius was carried out. Umoidim Chachomim L'Rabbi Shimon, the Chachomim who had not mentioned a Revius, they will concede to Rabbi Shimon, the Motzi Shofchin L'Rishus HaRabim, Shishi'uron Revius, the Shi'ur, the quantity for carrying out wastewater into a public domain, then the amount is that would result in guilt is a Revius. Less than that, waste water would have no use. Omar Mar. As we continue in the Gemara, we have triangles, and they highlight the expression Omar Mar on the side of the Gemara. You notice under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated the triangular here is Omar Mar, is the expression that's highlighted. Tzitutim min hamakor dam v'chol mineh, etc. These are quotes from the source that we just finished. The source that began with the words Dam v'chol mineh, the above framed source. So here is a quote, Bamed v'amurim b'motzi, when is it that the amounts that that a specific amount is required in order to result in Shabbos culpability? That's with regard to a motzi, someone who carries it from a private to a public domain. Avol b'matznia kol shihu, but matznia, someone who puts it away, who stores it away, even a negligible amount. The Gemara asks, "Otu matznia lav motzihu?" Is it not so that the case of matznia is also a case of someone who is motzi? After all, matznia, which literally means putting something away, hiding something away, there's no iser on taking something in the privacy of your home and putting it in a secret location. That's not something that results in a Shabbos violation. When we speak about a matznia, we have to be speaking about it in the context of someone who is carrying it outside. So how is it that the source says that a matznia is chayav even v'kolshu, unless you're talking about someone who is motzi? So in the source, what is the distinction that's being made between a motzi and a matznia? Omar Abaye, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case of this source is b'talmid she'omar lo rabo, a student whose instructor told him, Lech ufane li hamokoyim l'se'uda. I want you to go and clear away some room for us to have a meal. So now in clearing away the place, he carried something outside. Holach upino lo. The student went and cleared away some room for having a meal. So as we said, when he cleared the area away, he ended up carrying something outside, from indoors to outdoors. So dovor choshuv lakol chayav iluya, something that is of importance to everybody. So he would be chayav, he would be guilty for carrying the item from a private domain to a public domain. Dovar she'eino choshuv lakol, something that is not of significance to everybody. Rashi says here, Dover Shenu Choshev Lakol, Vahochi Ko Amri. Bamed Vamurim Deboinon Shiura De Choshev. When is it that a significant amount is necessary before resulting in a Chiyuv Shabbos? Bemotzi, Klomer, Bedover She'ein Lechol Leilech Bo, Elo Acher Hotza Oso Shilzer, Shamach Shova Tluyo Boze Shehotzi. That is something that you would follow the machshava, the idea of the one that was carrying it outside. Avo b'matznia, b'dover sheyesh l'cholelich achar machshava shel matznia. However, with regard to an item that was put away by someone else that had some kind of personal intentions, kigon hamatznia kolshehu, someone who puts aside a negligible amount because he feels that it's important, chayov ze hamotzio, the one that carries it out will be chayav. Reb Shimon Elazar Omra, and this source is being taught by Reb Shimon Elazar, the Ozu L'tamei. This is Reb Shimon Elazar consistent with what he said elsewhere, the Omra Pirkan Deleav, that said in the previous parak, the Bedovar She'ein Matznim Kamo, an item that, or the quantity of which, is something that ordinarily people would not put aside, and one person decided that for him this very small amount is important, and he put it away. Someone else who carries out that item that was that item with its very with its negligible quantity, someone else comes and carries it out, will himself will become chayav because of the machshava of the one that put it aside. So now we turn back to the Gemara. So, as we said, something, a quantity of something that is of significance to all, so the student that is carrying it out in our scenario will be chayav for it. Dover she'enu choshev lakol, something that is not an amount that has significance to the public. So, I atznei rabbe, if the rabbi or if the teacher had put it aside, mechayev iluya, the student that is carrying it outside, will be chayev because of the machshava, because of the intent of the other person. The ilo, if it's a negligible amount that was not put aside by his instructor, lo mechayev, then he will not be culpable. Omar mar, moidim chacham rishonim b'mosi shavim shusarabim shishiuran b'rvias. We mentioned that the Chachamim, who up till this point had not mentioned the Revius quantity, will concede to Reb Shimon that a Revius is the quantity to result in Chiyuv Hoitzah Shabbos with regard to Shofen, waste water. The Gemara asks, Shofen Lemai Chazu, what benefit, of what significance, or what use is waste water? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Legavil Bohenes Atid. The Revius is used for preparing cement, or mortar. V'hotanya, but have we not been taught, Tit Kedei Lasos Bohen Pikur, that the shiur of carrying out mortar is the amount used for making a Pikur, the mouth, or an opening to an oven, a kiln, which is a very small shiur. Pikur is something less than a revius. So the Gemara answers, there's no inconsistency here. In other words, on the one hand, we mentioned a revius, and on the other hand, we have this reference to a pikur amount. Lo kashya, ha de migbal, ha de lo migbal. If you have prepared mortar, then even a small amount, the small amount, the pikur amount, will result in guilt. Ha de lo migval. If it's a if you're dealing with unprepared mortar, then we speak about a revius of water used in the preparation of the mortar. Lefi she'ein olam toreach legabel tit lasos pikur, because a person won't bother preparing the amount of mortar necessary for a pikur alone. Once again, if you've got ready-made mortar, then even the small amount will have significance. But a person won't bother himself to prepare mortar if it's all that he needs is, or all that he is intending to prepare would be the amount for a pikur. To make the example more understandable, imagine someone who is going to bake some bread. So It might be so that a single slice of bread has significance, but a person wouldn't go ahead and bake a single slice of bread. A person bakes an entire loaf. So that if you're dealing with the ready-made matter, so a smaller amount will have significance. But if you're dealing with the raw materials in order to make that particular substance, then the larger amount will be the amount needed to talk about a chiyuv Shabbos. We continue with other items and their amounts regarding Hotzah. Hamotzi Chevel, Kedei Lasos Oizen Lekupa. Of course, we are starting this new Mishnah. The amount of rope that would result in a Chiyuv Hotzah on Shabbos, the amount needed for making an Ozen, a type of handle for a Kupa, for a basket. Gemi Lasos Tloi Lenapo. Gemi is another kind of material, reed material, that is used for making a little a loop or a ring for hanging a sifter. Let's read that again. Gemi kedei lasus tloi lenapo ulekvora. These are different sifting type vessels, a sifter and a sieve. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lito mimenu midas mino lekoton. Rabbi Yehuda says that the amount of gemi that would result in a chiyuv Shabbos is the amount of gemi, of reed material, a stringy reed material, for measuring the foot of a child for making shoes. Niyar, paper, kedei lichtov alav kesher muhsin. The amount of paper required for preparing or for writing on it a kesher muhsin. To appreciate what a kesher muhsin is, we glance at Rashi, second line from the bottom. Kesher shel muhsin yesh l'cha adam shenoisein hameches l'rosh hanor b'mokom echad. It seems from Rashi that we're talking about a toll that's paid for crossing a river. So there are people that pay the toll ahead of time, we'll say, before they actually cross the river, and they pay it to a tax collector known as the Roshahar, the Nahar, the head of the river. And he's located in a specific location. He might have an office in which you pay this fee. O mochel o b'matana. Or it could be that the Roshanar, compromises, or he forgives you for the payment, meaning he exempts you. Mochel would be exempts you from the paying as an act of good gesture to you. And in order to know then that you are exempt, or that you have already paid, he gives you a sign to show the actual tax collector who's at the, we'll say maybe at the crossing point, that you have already paid. And the custom was to write on a piece of paper two large letters. Rashi speaks about the writing of two large letters that are larger than common letters. Whatever the measure of common letters was, let it be known that the Kesher Muhsin are two letters that are larger. So the Niyar, we're talking about the amount of paper that on which one could write two large letters. Furthermore, Vamotzi Kesher Muhsin Chayav, one who would carry out a prepared Kesher Muhsin, he would also be Chayav Hilchas Shabbos for carrying something out on Shabbos. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The Mishnah continues. Niyar Mochuk. This is erased paper, paper that has already been erased. It's not fit for writing on it. Therefore, in order to be in violation of Hilchus Shabbos, of Hotzah on Shabbos for Niyar Mochuk, you would require a larger amount. And that larger amount is Kedei Lichroch Atzluchis Ktano Shel Plaiton. To the amount of paper, in this case, again, we're talking about erased paper, for binding around a small flask containing plyton. Plyton, we've seen this in the past, was a fragrance. So, if we just give a loose translation, it would be the amount of paper that one would use as a bottle stopper for a bottle of perfume. Well, whatever the case is that this Kedei Luchroch HaTzlucha Shel Plaiton is a larger amount of Niyar than the Niyar that was not erased that would have been used for Kesher Muchsin. Or Kedei Lasos Kamea. Or is leather, the amount that one would be able to prepare with it an amulet. Klaf. Klaf is loosely translated as parchment. Will there be a much more detailed piece of Gemara focusing on klaf later on? But kedei lasa lichtok olav parshik tana shebetfilin shi shma Yisrael. Klaf, as we said, is parchment. Is the amount of parchment on which one could write a small a parshik tana shebetfilin, a small section of or the short passage that is written in the tefillin. Which, and what is that small passage? Shema Yisrael. There is a longer passage that appears in the tefillin. There are four passages longer than Shema Yisrael. Everyone is probably familiar with the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema V'Hoyim Shemoah. But Shema Yisrael is shorter, hence it's called a Parsha Ketana. Rashi points out, since klaf is expensive, it's more expensive than or that we mentioned before, than simple leather, so one would not use it for anything less in size or less in length than the parsha of Shema. So that even though we've seen, for example, niyar enough to write on it two letters, when it comes to klaf, people would never use klaf for writing two letters. So its significance is achieved only if you have an amount that would be fit for writing a parsha ktana shebishma shebish tefillin, which is the parsha of Shema. Once again, just to remind ourselves as a principle in the dinim of hoitzah, is we require something called a shiur choshev, a significant amount of whatever the item is before we can speak about a Shabbos violation. So when it comes to klaf, a significant amount is determined by what was just said in the Mishnah. Dio kedei lichtov shtei osios. When it comes to carrying out ink, the amount of ink with which you could write two letters. Kochol kedei lichol ayin achas. Kochol is an eye. Cosmetic, and the amount of kohol of this particular eye cosmetic that would be guilty for hotzah b'Shabbos would be the amount for applying to one eye. Devik is glue, and glue, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, is kedei litein barosh hashafshaf, the amount that is placed at the top of a shafshaf. Later in the Gemara, there will be a description of this. It was a type of a perch or a small piece of wood that was attached to a pole and glue applied to this perch, and it was used for trapping birds. A bird would land on this and it wouldn't be able to escape because of the devik. So it's that amount of devik that one would apply to this perch. Zephes, the gophers, kedei lasos nekev. Zephes, pitch, and gophers, sulfur, the amount used for making a nekev, a hole. The Rashi says, kedei lasos nekev koton, kli shenoisen bo kesef chai, a vessel in which one places raw silver, so Saint Piv, the zephes of the gophers, he seals it with these materials, the nokev besoch astimo nekev dak lehotzi bo, and then he'll make a very small hole in this seal in order to extract the silver from there. The Gemara continues, shaivo wax kedei litein al pi nekev koton, the amount to seal or to place upon the hole in the nekev, in the little hole that a little hole that was made. So it's the amount of wax that would be used as a sealing of this small hole. Harosis kidei lasus pi kur shel tsorfei zahav. Harosis is, Rashi says, harosis levenuk susha would be the material left after grinding a brick. So it's the amount of that amount of harosis that's used for making a pikur. Rashi says, lasas pikur shamapoch nichnas bo mapoch is a bellows. So you would use this harosis in forming the hole into which a bellows is placed. And the bellows is used for the what's called the tsorfei zahav. These are people that are refining gold. So there's gold is refined by exposing it to heat, and the heat is produced in a type of oven, and the bellows is inserted into this hole to fan the heat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kidei lasos pitput. The amount of harosis is the amount for making a small leg that's onto which the kur, this oven is placed. Subin kidei litein al pi kur shel tsorfei zahav. Subin is bran. Rashi says subin kidei litein al pi kur shel tsorfei zahav b'mokom shein pechamim tsorfen zahav be'eish shel subin. So here we're talking about subin, the bran used as a fuel. So it's the amount of bran that would be used as a fuel when coals are not available. And again, we're talking about the gold refiners. The Mishnah continues, Sid, kidei losud ktana shebebona. Sid is sometimes translated as lime, but for our purposes, it's a depilatory. So it's the amount that would be used for a young girl, a ktana, for her hair removal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kidei lasos kalkel. And Rabbi Nechemi Omer kidei losud undefi. These points will be described later in the Gemara. But these are different shiurim for the amount of hoitsoas seed. The Gemara. Chevel nami l'chayev kidei lasas tloy l'napu l'kvora. The Mishnah mentioned a shiur for chevel, of rope, and that was the amount used for making a type of a loop or for hanging or a handle for a basket. So the Gemara is asking, why not mechayev even for a smaller amount, the amount that would be used for making a little loop for hanging a sifter? So why does the Mishnah, in the case of chevel, teach what would appear to be a leniency by saying there's no chiv hoitzah until you carry out enough for making a handle for a basket? The Gemara answers, Kevan dechorek b'mona lo avdi inchi. The rope was a type of coarse material that would have scraped or ruined the napa, and therefore people won't use rope material that scrapes or erodes a vessel. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that has different materials, different items, and their shiur hotsa. Hutsin kidei lasus oizen lasal kfifa mitzris. The hutsa is a material made from palm leaves. So we'll say it's palm leaf material. The amount for making a handle for a basket, a kfifa mitzris, is a basket made from palm fibers. Sieve is a natural growing netting or screen material. One can find this on the inside of the bark of a palm tree. If one looks there, you'll find this natural growing screen looking like material. That's sieve. So achirim omrim kidei litein al pi mashpech koton lesanein esayayin. As we mentioned, it's a natural growing screen, and it could be used therefore as a a sieve type material that you would attach to the end of a funnel. A mashpech is a funnel through which you would pour a wine, ready-made or freshly made wine, that you would want to strain it from debris. So this natural forming screen, the sieve, would fulfill that role. Therefore, it's a rather small amount, as we said, to attach to a funnel through which you would strain wine. Revav kidei lo such tachas ispegin ktana. Revav is fats. It's the amount that you would use as a grease substance under a small cake that you are interested in baking. The Kama Shura, what is the size of this ispagin? How much is it? Kesela. The sela is a coin. It's a known size. The Gemara interrupts this with a question and a quick answer. V'otanya kugogeres. But was it not taught the amount of fat that would equal a dried fig? So the Gemara answers, Idi v'idi chad shirahu. The amount needed for greasing the oven for the espagin is, in fact, a grogeres amount. Muchin, the source continues, Muchin kidei lasas kadur ktano. Muchin is soft material. In fact, Rashi in other places explain that any soft material, it's almost a generic term for soft material, that amount that from which you would make a small ball. Kador is a ball. The kamoshiro, what is that? What is meant by a small ball? Keegos, a nut quantity of muchin, if carried out on Shabbos, would result in chiyuv hoitzah. Niar kidei lichtov olav kesher muchsin. We spoke about paper, the amount of paper onto which one would be able to write two large letters. Tana, kamo kesher muchsin. How large is a kesher muchsin? Answer, shtei osios. And we've explained before, it means two large letters. Viramino. We now introduce a source that will appear initially to be contradictory. Hamotzi niyar cholok. One who carries out clean, fresh paper. Im yesh bo kidei lichtov shtei osios chayov. V'im la poter. If there is an amount to write two letters. Now the assumption is that it means two regular size letters, smaller than kesher muchsin letters, that is enough to result in a chiyuv Shabbos. So that this source would present a smaller amount, a stringency, a smaller amount leading to a violation of hoitzah b'Shabbos. And if it doesn't have that smaller amount, then he would be exempt. Anyway, we've dashed underlined the expression shteos is here. We're assuming that it means two regular or smaller size letters, as opposed to the kesher muchsin. Omar Rav Sheshes is the first of two answers. My shtei osios, in this source that we just read, that Nior Cholok is, one will be guilty if he carries out enough to write two letters, shtei osios shel kesher muchsin. In fact, it too means two large letters, letters that are written on this tax receipt, or toll receipt. Rava Omar, Rava is a second approach of Omar, shtei osios didon ubeis achiza dahainu kesher muchsin. When the source that we in which we dashed underlined shtei osios is in fact a reference to two regular letters, and so that when you see the expression shtei osios in this source, it means two regular letters. However, the niyar that's mentioned in that source, it's not a reference to the two letters alone, but it's two small letters and a little border around. Beis Achiza is a border around it that you could be able to hold it without touching the letters and possibly rubbing out the ink. And so that two regular letters and Beis Achiza, dahainu kesher muchsin, that is the same size as the amount of paper on to which you would write two large letters. That's fairly easy to understand. Just we'll repeat it anyway. Two small letters and the border is the same size as two large letters without the border. The Gemara asks a question. Meisvei. This question is a long question. You can see we have a kuf encircle to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Meisvei. Hamotzi nior mochuk ushtar parua. One who carries out on Shabbos a piece of erased paper, or a shtar is a contract, or a bill of debt, parua, that has already been paid up. In other words, it doesn't have any intrinsic value or inherent value, being that it's a contract that's already been paid. Im yesh beloven shelo, kedei lichtov shtei osios. The loven would be the margin, the white, literally the white area, the border. So if in this document there is, or this piece of paper, the niyar mochuk or the shtar parua, there is the amount of white white paper onto which you could write two letters. Rashi just points out the word loven is gilyon, which will be the margin. Another quantity or shiur worth noting is bekulo kedei lichrucha pitzlufis katana shel plaiton. Or you have this niyar cholok, or this niyar mochuk, that is the erased paper or the shtar perua that you could use as a bottle stopper for the bottle of perfume. Chayav. Then he would be chayav. He would be guilty of hoitzah Shabbos. V'im lav, if the niyar mochuk or the shtar perua lacks either one of these dimensions, these quantities, then he would be exempt. It would having no use. Bishlamo l'rav sheshes the omar mai shtei osios shel keshu muhsin shapir. Rav Sheshes explained earlier that when you see the expression in a Tanaic source, you see the expression shtei osios, it really means two large letters. So in this Tanaic source, where we also dashed underlined shtei osios, it means two large letters. Elo l'roba d'amar shtei osios didon ubeis achiza d'hainu kesher muhsin, but according to Rava's explanation that the expression shtei osios means two regular letters plus a border that enables you to hold it without touching the two letters that you wrote. Hacha beis achiza lo tzarech. In this case, you don't need a border onto which to grab hold, because let's say you have a paid up bill of document or bill of debt, and it has a margin, and that margin is you could write two regular size letters. You don't need an additional border in order to hold it. You can hold it from the written part of that bill of debt, so you don't need to have this what's called the beis achiza. So in the case of the this most recent Tanaic source, if Rava is correct, he should be chayav even without having the border amount. So and yet it says shtei osios, and he's chayav. And according to Rava, he wouldn't be chayav if there's enough space to write simply two normal letters. Two normal letters is not enough. But why should that not be enough in this case? Hakashia, so this is left as a bit of a difficulty for Rava. Tonu Rabbanan. We continue in the Gemara. On the side of the Gemara, though, we have a topic heading, Hoitzas Kesher Muhsin Achar Hashimush Bo. One who carries the Kesher Muhsin after he used it. The Kesher Muhsin, again, was an indication, a sign that one had paid his toll already. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hamotzi Kesher Muhsin, Ad Shelo Hereu L'Moichis Chayav. If he is carrying it on Shabbos before he showed it to the Moches, the tax collector, or the toll collector, so Chayav, he will be guilty of a Shabbos violation. After all, it's something that he needs. It has chashivas to him, it has importance, it has significance, and that is the underlying rule for all of these dinim of hoitzah, that if it's something of significance, then he will be chayav. So he, being that he hasn't used it yet, it still has significance, he'll be chayav. However, mishaher eyu lemoifes poter. If he used it, showing it to the toll collector, so the toll collector knows that this man has already paid up or was already exempted from the toll, so he doesn't need this anymore. Therefore, if he carries it at this point on Shabbos, he is carrying something, a small piece of paper with these two letters on it, that has basically no significance. Therefore, he will be potter, he'll be exempt. Rabbi says, even after he showed it to the toll collector, and he carries this around, this kesher muhsin, on Shabbos, Rabbi says he'll be chayav. My binayhu. What is the underlying point of controversy? In other words, we really need to explain Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Of what value is this kesher muhsin to the owner who's carrying it around after he's already shown it to the moches? Amar Abaye. We have in this Gemara, we have three explanations that will serve to explain the point of controversy between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. So Abaye says, Ika binayu rohite muhsa. The point of difference will be the case of rohite muhsa. Let's glance at Rashi. Rohite muhsa. Rashi, you'll notice, is just a couple lines above this point in the Gemara. He opens up with a French word, currents, sherotzin achar ha'oivrim. This is someone who chases or pursues people who crossed the river, lahali alem shalonos ma'meches. They're called their shadowy figures, or suspicious figures, we'll say, who attempt to badmouth. Lahalil is to cast aspersions on people claiming that they did not pay the toll. The toreach la'ovrim lachzer l'mochisen, they cause the people that crossed the river to go back to the moches to exonerate themselves. What happens is that people might keep the kesher muhsin to show to these characters that it's not worth your time trying to badmouth us, being that here is proof that we have already paid or were already exempted from the toll. That's as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. Ulatanakama lo mitzna lei lahochi. According to the Tanakama, a person won't put away, won't save the kesher muhsin after he already crossed the river, and after you already showed it to the tax collector, the chirati basrei, hoder legabi moches. His feeling, the Tanakama's feeling is that if people do run after, pursue the individual, so he will go back to the moches. He'll go back to the tax collector who will testify, who bear testimony that this person is actually exempt at this point. Continuing in the Gemara, Rovo Amar, Moiches Gadol, Moiches Koton, Iko Binayo. And again, for this, Rashi is essential. Rashi says, Moiches Koton, Pa'omim Shesh Moiches Gadol, Shetorach Lo Lamod Al Hagesher Kolayom. The Moiches is the toll collector, but you have a chief toll collector that has underlings. There are times that the chief toll collector is it's too much trouble for him to stand at the gesher, the crossing point, at the bridge all day. Umemana mochis katan. And he appoints a fill-in, a small or a subsidiary assistant toll collector. Vizeh mitchila eno mara hachosim shomelch el alagodol. The person that we are focusing on, that's carrying the kesher muhsin right now, he's someone that at first he shows his sign of exemption that he received from the Rosh Nohar. He shows it only to the king or to the main toll collector. He doesn't show it to the Moches Katan. And apparently he relies on that. That's the Tanakama. So in a situation that a person had already shown it to the main toll collector, he doesn't keep his... The Kesher Muhsin will have no significance to him anymore. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he takes into consideration the possibility that the assistant toll collector will stop him from crossing. Ulatanakama ain't sorachlo. According to the Tanakama, customer doesn't need the Kesher Muhsin. Shagolo moser lo simin dvarim. The chief toll collector gives him a sign, the omer lakoton, the over, and apparently the sign, or it could be a type of code or password that he gives to the moches koton, and that will enable him to cross. We continue in the Gemara, number 3, Rav Ashi Omar, Chad Moches Iko Binayo. We'll see a little bit more about this in the Rashi in a moment. The Gemara says, "Mipnei shitzorchlo laharos lemoches sheni, the omar lechazi gavra de moches ano." This is a bit obscure. Let us take a look at Rashi, and then we'll have much greater clarity. You'll notice we have a little note or a double star enabling you to find the Rashi quickly. Lemoches sheni shomavor achir. The case Rav Ashi is describing is not like Rava, who spoke about a main toll collector and an assistant toll collector, but rather there's a singular toll collector at the point that one has to ordinarily pay the toll, and it's at the point that a person would use his kesher muhsin. And we're talking here about a person that already crossed. Now, what is this Moches Sheni? So Rashi says, L'moches Sheni Shomavor Achir. A second toll collector at a different point, a different crossing point. V'lolu Potrum in Ameches. He, the customer, is not using the Kesher Muhsin to exempt him from paying the toll. Elo Laharos, he's using it only to show Shu Ne'emon V'choshuv, that I am a trustworthy and a person of importance. The Enu Mavriach Atzum in Ameches, and I am not someone that tries to avoid paying tolls and taxes. Kedei Shelo Yalu Olov Le'achar Zman, and he does this in order to establish a reputation. Someone who has a Kesher Muhsin is someone who is known to be a reliable person who pays his tolls. So that even if, now this of course would be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, said even though you don't need this particular Kesher Muhsin because you already, let's say you already crossed the river, or you simply don't need it for right now, as we said, you already crossed it, nevertheless a person will hold on to his old Kesher Muhsin to show other toll collectors that he is a responsible individual in order to establish a reputation. That would be the reason that Rabbi Yehuda will say you're chayav even after you already used it. Tanu Rabbanan. But actually, before we continue in the Gemara, let us take a look at the topic heading on the side of the Gemara. Hamotzi shtar choiv shekvar porua. One who carries a bill of debt after it has already been paid up. So we have a Tanaic source that opens this section. Tanu Rabbanan Hamotzi shtar chov ad shelo poro chayav. If a person carries a bill of collection, a bill of debt, before he received payment for it, so of course it has significance to him. He's This is the means with which he'll collect his debts. So therefore, if he carries it outside on Shabbos, he will be chayav. He'll be guilty. Mishaporo potter. However, once it has been paid up, if he carries it out, so he'll be exempt. Rebuta Omer, af mishaporo chayav, b'nei shetzorech lo. Rebuta, seemingly, let's say, reminiscent of what we saw before in his shita, with regard to the Kesher Muhsin, here, even though it has already been used or been paid up, nevertheless, one will be chayav. We haven't explained anything yet, we've simply translated the source. The Gemara continues, my binayo, as we saw before, what is the basis of this machlokis? What are the hesberim each one gives to their opinion? And in order to answer this, we have a few approaches that will appear in the Gemara. The different opinions in explaining this are highlighted with a triangle marking. You can see the triangles will appear and continue down the first few lines of Daf Ayin Tes as well. Four triangles in total: Rav Yosef, Abaye, the top of Ayin Tes Amar Aleph, Rava, and five lines from the top, Rav Ashi. The Gemara, my binayu, Omar Rav Yosef, also Lusho Shtar Puro Ika binayu. The point of Machlokis will be the issue of the prohibition, or is there a prohibition, of one keeping in his possession a paid up shtar, a bill of debt that's already been paid. Rabbanan Safi also Lushos Shtar Poror. It is forbidden to keep a bill of collection, to keep it around. Rashi quotes a posuk in Eov, Al Tashkein Bolach Avlo, the Malva, the one who loaned money, is prohibited from keeping around a bill of debt that he already collected with, because there is the fear that he might end up using it to collect again. Now, since there is a prohibition, so he won't keep it around, even for using as a bottle stopper, even though we've seen in previous Gemaras that a piece of paper could be used as a bottle stopper, he won't because of the Isser. The Love certainly wouldn't, once he paid up his debt, and let's say he received the bill of debt, which is standard procedure, he won't keep it around because he's afraid that it'll fall into the hands of the Malva. So he has no interest in keeping it around either. So either way, according to the, as far as the Malva, the one who loaned the money, it is prohibited for him to keep it around. The Love, once he receives it, won't want to keep it around. Therefore, it has no significance. Therefore, that's why the Rabbanan say that once it's been paid up, one would be exempt if he carries it outside. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara points out, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Mutar Lisho Shtar Paroah. It is permissible to keep around a bill of debt even though it's been paid up. So the Malva, we're not going to assume that he's a crook, so we're not assuming that he intends to use it to collect again, but he might very well use it as a bottle stopper. Continuing in the Gemara, Abai Omar Dekulei Alma Oser Lisho Shtar Paroah. As far as Abai is concerned, all the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda would agree that it is forbidden to keep a shtar puro around. So that we're not talking about, we'll say, a simple case of a paid up shtar. Here we're dealing with a special case, a case of a love, a person who admits, he says, oh, that shtar that the malva that the lender is holding, that is a document that in fact I wrote up. In other words, I am mode that I borrowed money from this person. At that point, that a lender concedes, that he admits that he wrote it, does that mean that the lender can now use it to collect? After all, we're talking about a love, someone who admits I borrowed it. However, he is also claiming that I paid it up. Now, there's always the doubt that if you paid it up, so what is the Malva doing with it in his hands? Ordinarily, as we made reference before, ordinarily when a debt is paid up, the Malva gives the shtar back to the Love. So it's true that the Love, the borrower, is claiming he paid it up, but there is an element of, we'll say, doubt in our minds. Why is it that the Malva is still holding on to it? Nevertheless, let's go back to the case at hand. Mode b'shtar shekoso, a lova concedes, I wrote it. Is the shtar useful at that point for collecting? After all, we have a lova that is saying, yes, I wrote it up, but I paid up that debt. Does the malva have any claim? So if you hold that... If you hold that the malve cannot use it simply because he's holding on to it, because after all, the love also says that he paid it up, so it would have no value. And therefore, if he would carry it out on Shabbos, there would be no guilt. The expression sarch lekaimo means you need to verify it. Does the malve need to verify the shtar by being mekayim the chesimus ha'edim? It means by verification of the witness's signatures. If the lender would be successful in verifying the shtar through testimony concerning the authenticity of the signatures on it, the lender would be able to use it as a means of collection. So, in our Gemara, which is quite terse, as I'm sure everyone can hear, the Gemara continues, Tana Kama Sovar, Moide B'shtar Shekosvo, when a Love concedes, I wrote up that bill of debt, indicating that I borrowed the money. Nevertheless, it has no value to the Malva, because this Love is also saying, I paid it up. This is known as hapesha, also hu hapesha hitir. The mouth that made problems, or that bound, is also the mouth that unbinds. The love is the one who is authentic, or is verifying the shtar's authenticity, but he, at the same time, is saying he paid it up. So it has no value to the malve as a means of collection, until the malve would be able to authenticate the signatures. That's called Tzorach Lekaimo. So until that point, it really has no value to the Malve. Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, the Tanakhama says that the Malve, if he carries it out, is exempt. It has no value to him at this point. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Moide B'shtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach Lekaimo. Rabbi Yehuda says that once the Lova concedes he prepared this bill of collection, this bill of debt, indicating that he borrowed money, the Malva doesn't have to verify the signatures. The Malva can use it straight out as a means of collection. And if that be the case, if he carries it on Shabbos, he's carrying something that has value to him. Umay ad shelo poro umishaporo. In the original source, we saw the expressions ad shelo poro within the Tanakhama. Ad shelo poro and mishaporo. What do those expressions mean? The Gemara continues at the top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. Ad shiyomar love porati velo porati. Rashi at the top says ad shiyomar porati velo porati klomar ad shelo Achilamar porati, until he has not said porati, I paid it up, then chayav, then the malve will be chayav, because if the love, if the borrower did not say I paid it up, if he simply says, yeah, I wrote it, so he's basically saying, I still owe the money. Mishomar parati, once the love says, I paid it up, potter. Then the mother would be exempt, the botele, because by his saying I paid it up, he's making it such that it has no value anymore. We continue with Rava, the third explanation. Rava Omar, de kule almo, moide b'shtar shekotzvoy shetzorach lekaimo. Everyone will be in agreement that the love, even though he conceded that he wrote the bill of debt indicating that he borrowed the money, nevertheless, it has no immediate value to the malve until he verifies it. The malve would be expected to verify to authenticate the signatures before it would have any use. So then the question would be, why would someone say that you're chayev for carrying this out on Shabbos? The hocha b'koisvin shoivar komifligi. Here, the controversy between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda concerns the issue of, do we write a shovar? A shovar is a receipt indicating that a debt has been paid up. Tanakama sovar koisvin shovar. The Tanakama, who says that once a bill of debt has been paid up, a shovar must be written, a receipt must be written. In other words, the borrower would have to hold on to the receipt that he has paid up. Rebuta sovar ein koisvin shovar. And Rebuta holds that we don't want to burden the love with holding a shovar. This needs a great deal more explanation, and we'll go to Rashi in order to find the necessary background. Before we do so, just let's note that we have a double star indicating where to find the point in Rashi that will explain the Gemara. So a few lines down from here, you'll notice V'hochi Garsinon, there's a double star, means the text that we should use is as follows. Tanakama Sovar, Koisvin Shovar. The Tanakama is of the opinion that a receipt is to be written. The Hochi Ka'omar, Mishaporoi Loive, once a Lova has paid up his debt, the Hotsil Malva B'Shabbos, and the Malva carries out the paid up Shtar on Shabbos, Potter, he would be exempt. Sheinu Tzorech Lo. It has no value at this point. The Amris Kivan de Roy Lotso Alpitsuchiso, Hu de Boy Vadure Lova. And if you say, well, it's still fit to be used as a bottle stopper, and once he has received his payment, so he would have to give it back to the love, to the lender, to the borrower, lo mashi le, the love is not going to keep it around. Shemo yovolide malva v'yachsarit be'enu. He's afraid that it might fall back into the hands of the lender, and he will collect again. Vinami lo mahadule malve, and even if the malve doesn't give it back to the love, lo ichbas le lalove, the love doesn't care that the malve is still holding on to the paid shtar. The malve kosev le lalove shover iluya. The malve gave him a receipt, so the love is confident. The love feels safe that he won't be endangered again because he has the receipt. Therefore, let's just go over this again. If a bill of debt has already been paid up and the malve were to carry it out into the Rishus HaRabim, he would be exempt. The malve got his money already, so he doesn't need it. And if you'll say, well, doesn't he need to return it to the lova as a bottle stopper? The lova is not going to keep it around. It's dangerous to have a paid-up document existing, so he's not going to use it as a bottle stopper. He'll sooner throw it out. And even if the malva doesn't give it back to the lova, the lova still doesn't have any care about it because he has a receipt. Rashi continues, Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Ein Koisvin Shovar. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that, in general, receipts are not written for debts that were paid up. Hilkoch Tzorich Hu HaMalva. The boy Aduri, the Malva is expected. He has a need to return it to the Loveh, to the lender, to the borrower. De'i lo mahadule, if he doesn't give it back, choser v'tovo lo mashiporo, he might very well use it to collect again. The lo sagi le b'shovar, there is no preparation. We don't prepare receipts. The tzorach l'shomru minachbaram, because the Loveh would have to then, the Loveh would then be burdened with guarding the shovar from mice who eat paper. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, a bill of debt that has already been paid up is something that has to be returned to the Loveh. Therefore, there is significance in its existence, and therefore carrying it out on Shabbos will result in a chiyuv. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Ashi with a fourth explanation. Omar mitnei shetzorch laharoisu lebal chov sheni. According to Rav Ashi, the machlokes concerns a case where the loveh, not the malva, where the loveh, where the borrower carries out a shtar, even if the shtar has already been paid up. Now you'll ask, why would the loveh want to hold on to a shtar that's already been paid up? Well, he might need it to show to a second, if he needs a second loan, the Omar Lay, the borrower, the potential borrower, would say, Chozi, note, Gavro de Porana, I'm a person that pays up my debts. Here, you see a bill of debt that I am holding, indicating I got it back from the Malva, meaning I paid up my debt, so you're not taking a risk in loaning me money. Let's take a look at Rashi, Ravashi Omar. Pluktayu, the machlokis, is kishotzio loveh, where the loveh, the borrower, carries it out on Shabbos. Kishotzio loveh, who? That's where the machlokis is. Uma hu tzorach lo dekomar. What does that mean? We saw in the source on the Ayin Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Yehuda said, Av Mishpor Meishu Tzorach Lo. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean by the loveh needing it? So it means Vadai Lo Lotzur, he's certainly not going to need it to use it as a bottle stopper, to Mishum Stimas Pid Sluchis Lo Mashi Lay, for using this paper as a bottle stopper. He's not going to keep it around. Shemo yovelide hamalve. It might fall back into the hands of the malve. Elo mashile laorosu l'shar bali chovos. Rather, he will keep it around, though not as a bottle stopper, but for showing other creditors. L'sa'alo shuporei chovos, to show, to praise himself in so far as him being a reliable person that pays up his debts. So that's Rav Ashi's explanation. And again, we emphasize the unique element of Rav Ashi's explanation is that the one who would be chayav for carrying it out on Shabbos is not the lender, as we said in the previous explanations, but here the borrower would be the one chayav. And why in the world would the borrower still hold on to it? Well, that's because he wants to show that he is a reliable person. Of course, that is an explanation within Shitas Rav Yehuda, who says that even though it's been paid up, there still would be a chiv hoitzah on it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.